I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Now that it's not plugged in right,
I'm going to hear it in both ears.
This week, snooze fest at St Mirren, lacklustre against Livingston. Only 4 points out of six means we have to wait for the title. But next up, Neil returns to Hampden to tiptoe to the treble treble. All this and more on the latest episode of 20 Minute Tims. 20 Minute Tims, episode 175. I am joined this week by Glasgow's favourite son, Martin Melly.
Hello.
Turning into somewhat the superstar and, well, you're just Stephen.
Yeah, assistant at times.
Yeah, assistant to Glasgow's favourite son. And I am Jamie, just getting the introductions out of the way. How are we doing this week, boys? I've got a confession to make, Melly. Passed up Melly at the match this week, so I did.
Yeah, didn't bother listening.
I didn't expect it was going to be a thriller.
I'm a bit bloaty today, boys.
Why?
It's been a tough week. Bit of water retention with all the Hun tears I ingest.
Stephen, you were at the Livingston game. I saw you.
Yes.
Saw you on Celtic TV.
Yeah, Melly and I were captured on Celtic TV. I've taken a bit of abuse from my dress since that day, I had to say.
And rightly so.
That was official club merch I was wearing. That
it was. That makes it worse.
That the money for that controversial hat I was wearing went straight into the coffers of Celtic Football Club, gentlemen. That £8 is going towards Peter Lovell's bonus.
If you don't know what we're talking about, check out Stephen's Twitter feed. He was caught wearing a bonnet. And if you don't know what we're talking about with Melly at the match, we are, of course, talking about our superb Patreon content. It's out there for anyone who wants to have a little listen. What is Patreon, Stephen, for those who might not know?
Well, I'm glad you asked, James. Patreon is a subscription service that we offer. If you like what we do every Monday night, there's a way to help support the podcast. You just go to patreon.com/20minutetims. And there, for an absolutely tiny pledge every month, you can gain access to all manner of extra content, including more than 60 extra podcasts on there, including our famed Melly at the Match series, where we rant about Celtic in Melly's car.
Yes, immediately after the game. Immediately after.
And the O'Neill years, which has gone over pretty well since the second episode of that came out recently.
Yes. So, as Stephen says, for a small pledge, you get at least 2 extra podcasts a month, or we have another tier where you get your two extra podcasts a month plus a unique Friday phone-in.
Yeah, that's quite fun as well.
Melly, you said it, Hun tears. That has been the theme of the week. I can't remember the last time we beat Rangers, Stephen, and they moaned and bleated and frankly bitched about it for 7 days.
It's been mortifying to the tough. Some of the stuff that's come out after that game is embarrassing, and it has culminated in Scott Brown receiving what Neil Lennon described as, quite rightly described as, a trumped up charge. What are we calling it then? Not acting in the best interest
failure,
of football?
Yes, failure to act in the best interest of football. To put that in perspective, that is the same charge, one of which that was levelled at Craig White. So, so that's the level. That's the level you find Scott Brown on.
Genuinely embarrassing. I said a few weeks ago on here, after Steve Clark was complaining of being the recipient of sectarian abuse at Ibrox, that Scottish football is a joke. Now Scottish football has at times had a lot going for it. Just this season, we had Brendan Rodgers at Celtic, Neil Lennon at Hibs. These are all big managers. Steve Clarke at Kilmarnock. Lots of good players, lots of decent football being played. But at its core, at its very heart, Scottish football is an absolute laughingstock, and it deserves to be, because this is the way it's run. To throw that completely made-up charge, I'd love to think it was just, how can we get something? How can we get Celtic on something? So they sent someone, something like Indiana Jones or Tomb Raider, into the vaults of the SFA so they can just find
brought
this
out an old dusty book.
Aye. And find this preposterous charge to level at Scott Brown. It's a dangerous one to open, because where do we draw the line with not acting in the best interests of Scottish football? Is our TV deal acting in the best interests of Scottish football?
Let me ask you something, though.
Is appointing Alex McLeish the best interest?
Exactly. Let me ask you something. What action incurred the charge?
Well, it's hard to say.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, they haven't really been clear about it. Is it just that he celebrated? Are we charging Scott Brown based on doing what professional athletes do, celebrating games? I'm astonished at it. I'm finding it hard to talk about it in sensible terms.
You know what it is, though, Melly? It's someone at the SFA has watched all this fallout, all the Rangers players get booked, and Steven Gerrard himself got issued with a one-match ban, which nobody seems to be talking about.
Yeah, took it like a bitch as well, didn't he?
And they're watching that and go, oh, we can't let Scott Brown get away with that. There's no way he can get away. You need to huckle him. You need to get him under control.
It just has to be. They get beat. They get three players banned. They get their manager banned. But they can't be seen to be letting Celtic away with it. But they're not letting Celtic away with anything. They've never done anything wrong. Nobody done anything wrong at Celtic. But they have to be seen to evening it out. It's utterly pathetic. And Stephen just said he's astonished at it. And to be honest, I'm not astonished at it.
Well, yeah. Aye.
We know what they're like.
It's the pettiness at the heart of Scottish football writ large with this, and they just can't seem to let it go. But, you know, at least Rangers as a club, you know, they're rising above it. They don't concern themselves with such things.
No one likes them. They don't care.
I'm not buying that anymore. They had their player of the year dinner.
Sounds like a good bash.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sash bash. They had their player of the year dinner this week, Stephen. Goal of the season for Rangers. Now, goal of the season is typically the most spectacular, most brilliant goal you've seen all season. Who or what do you think got that?
Morelos has got a fair amount, so...
Let me just stop you there, because you're way down the wrong path. It was the 12-yard sclaff by Ryan Jack, deflected off Scott Brown, that went at the back of the net at Ibrox against Celtic.
Right, so something of a sort of lifetime achievement award rather than goal of the season. Right, okay.
You just give that to Ryan Jack, because obviously that is the highlight of the season, with one Glasgow derby left to play.
I seen a nice photo of Andy Halliday, McGregor, Ryan Jack.
A nice photo?
One other. And there was some sort of Rangers thing, come up my feed because somebody liked it. Just said, what a staunch table. That's all they care about.
That is all they care about.
Four shite footballers. One of them I didn't even know who it was. And all they care about is the fact that they're staunch. Not that they're crap at football.
Did I tell you guys recently about the time I was in Glasgow City Centre having a few drinks? Madness in here. Emilio having a few drinks. But and some guy was in, I won't name the pub, but it was some guy was in pretending to be Andy Halliday.
What?
Genuinely. What? Like, one of his pals went like to me, here's Andy Halliday, and I thought, right, what a hilarious gag. He looks a little bit like him. I was kind of laughed, but they were serious. All his pals were in on him pretending to be Andy Halliday.
Why are you not naming the pub? if there's one difference between Celtic and Rangers post-Glasgow derby, is that Rangers have sort of kicked on a wee bit and picked the performances up, whereas Celtic have kind of just slogged along a wee bit with two. I suppose the St Mirren performance wasn't as bad as a Livingston one, but it wasn't really sparkling, Melly.
It was not. A lot of changes in the lineup, but didn't seem to really kick us into action at all. Again, watching the game, you're just like, what am I watching? What am I doing here?
Stephen, Melly mentioned the lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got to admit, before the game, there was one name on the leaked lineup that really, I thought, well, that's a bit left field, that's interesting.
We talk about this fairly frequently on here now because there are leaked lineups all the time. And when it came out before the Rangers game that Johnny Hayes was starting, I thought, oh, come on, surely not. That's a bit out there. But the one for the St Mirren game was even wilder than that. It featured the name of one Marvin Komper. Now, everyone bought it, though. Everyone believed it.
I wanted it.
Yeah, and thinking back, there's no way. He hasn't been so much as on the bench for about 7 months, never mind about to start a game. So
longer than that, probably.
It may be. But I was disappointed because I thought, that would be hilarious if we just start to sort of roll over the line when it comes to the championship with guys like Marvin Komper and the team.
I think we all know he's not very good. But I want it to be definite. I want to see it again. 80 minutes against Greenock Martin is just not enough for me.
What did you make of the lineup, Stephen? It was Bain, Lustig, Simonovic, Ayer, Izaguirre, Brown, Cham, Forrest, McGregor, Weah, and Burke.
Not too many surprises. Weah, I suppose, I don't think he had previously started a game under Neil Lennon. This was his first start, and really his first involvement for a while with Weah. Other than that, I thought it was fairly predictable, fairly solid, to be honest. I had to look at St Mirren's lineup, though. That featured some big names. Two names in there of two of the best defenders in recent years. Only the names right enough, because it was Ferdinand and Popescu. Not the real ones.
I think the changes were necessary after that game. A big derby. You're going to need changes. A lot of players looked on their last legs. Really hoped fresh legs coming in would kick us on. Looked again a strong bench, but just didn't get the performance again.
I was very surprised to see Izaguirre, purely because I'd completely forgotten that he'd signed for Celtic.
Well, there is that. That was a surprise. He and Jozo turned up for the first time since the Valencia games. Now, I fully expected Izaguirre never to play for Celtic again after his performance at home to Valencia, but it's needs must, I'm afraid, with Johnny Hayes having picked up an injury against Rangers. But the left-back situation as a whole has to be fixed this summer. It's desperation stakes. We talked a little bit about this in the Friday night phone-in. It's not good enough to just be throwing anybody in there anymore. You look at all the big, successful, dominant teams around Europe, and you can name their fullbacks. Like, their fullbacks are major parts of the way these teams play. Man City, Bayern Munich, Juventus, Barcelona. Look, they've all got, I won't run through the list, but they've all got top-class fullbacks. Now, I'm not asking for Celtic to have world-class fullbacks, but the positions need to be stronger than they are. Because at various points, even under Brendan Rodgers, we're just flinging anyone in there. It would be Jack Hendry, Ayer at right back. Now we've got Izaguirre, 2010's Emilio Izaguirre, getting thrown in there. And, oh, God love him, but he's not good enough.
He
was poor against St Mirren as well. Although he got a couple of decent crosses and he was involved in the penalty for one. But it's not good enough. We need someone to not only challenge Kieran Tierney, but to help him out. We need somebody that's going to come in and play 25, 28 games a season next year. Someone who's going to be able to take on the mantle that isn't just a huge drop-off. Now, easier said than done, I know, but they are out there. Emilio Izaguirre is someone who came on, and realistically, he wouldn't get in the Aberdeen team. Like Hibs or Aberdeen wouldn't sign a guy like Izaguirre. Aberdeen have got that Max Lowe. These players are out there. They're handy players, but it's got to change.
Between right-back and left-back, we've got about seven full-backs. Come in the summer, Tierney, he'd maybe keep Ralston as well, but apart from that, they could all go. That's not good enough for a club the size of Celtic. Absolutely not good enough.
Another guy who started his first game in three was Ollie Burke. What did you make of his performance, Melly?
Oh, between that and...
You can always tell what Melly's going to say when he drives his teeth.
Just, aye.
Yeah, he's making us look a bit stupid, isn't he? Yeah, decent start to his career at Celtic, but boy, oh boy, he doesn't look like a footballer anymore. I said it on Friday.
Steven's nodding.
He's got all the attributes of an athlete, but not many of a footballer. He's looking terrible. The more games that go on, come on to Livingston later, but he had a shot, played inside. It's a decent chance, and the finish is just technically all wrong. Completely screws it wide with the wrong party's foot. It was a shocker, like his haircut.
Oliver Burke, you get guys on this podcast, we're continually made to look like idiots because we're almost unfailingly positive about almost every signing that comes in. And Oliver Burke, for the first three or four games, we were absolutely gushing about him, saying, oh, just break the bank, 9 million, get him in. He's tailor-made for Scottish football, but he has fallen off big time. And there's obviously a reason he's mainly fallen out of the team under Lennon. I'd love to believe it's just a drop in form, but it's a big one if it is.
It sort of explains his career somewhat today. You know, you're looking at Ollie Burke, and I mean, a team like West Brom with at least aspirations to be in the Premier League, maybe the Championships next season, but they want to be in and around the Premier League next season. He's not an English Premier League player.
No.
Not at the standard of the performance he's producing for Celtic. You'd want him to be head and shoulders above. You want him to look like Craig Bellamy did when he came on loan here.
Or Scott Sinclair first.
You want him to be head and shoulders above. And he's at the point now where he's not producing performances of a consistency even to get him in the Celtic team.
I don't know where his career goes from here. Look, he might pick up form the remaining games of the season, but I don't really see it, to be honest. And I still I still don't know where he plays. He's quick, maybe out wide, but he can't dribble. His first touch is terrible, and when he does dribble, he dribbles out of the park. So I don't.
I think, ironically enough, though, he is the mould. He's the sort of specific.
You're going to say he's the mole.
He's the specification of the sort of player Celtic would normally go and sign.
Yeah.
Had we not got him on loan, he's sort of lost his way a wee bit. Still young, decent pedigree. That's the sort of guy in the summer that we would probably fancy to go and sign.
Well, that's a continuation of the comparisons with Scott Sinclair, because he fits that bill as well. Someone who'd kind of fallen away a wee bit and looked to rebuild his career with Celtic. Oliver Burke, it's not, all is not lost with him. He could turn this around, but the dip in form he's had is pretty precipitous, to say the least.
Does that
get the dictionary?
does that come in coincide with Brendan Rodgers leaving? Because him and Brendan Rodgers seem to have a good relationship together.
Yeah, and Brendan Rodgers was the first manager probably ever to play him through the middle, where he was quite effective in his first month or so in the season. It could be, but he, by his own words, he said he didn't really care that Brendan Rodgers had gone. He was here to play for Celtic. It didn't really matter. So we can only take him at his word, and not, we can't blame Neil Lennon for that.
Timo Weah, labelled a flop, Millie, on this podcast. put paid to that with a goal.
Yep. Lustig, I don't know what he's doing up there, but he's in the box, gets a shot, probably should do better, but the ball breaks, way out with a header, goes over the line, and then Ollie Buck with a spectacular miss, blazed it over from yards out. Impressive.
Only his second worst miss of this episode, more to come. Yeah.
Way good to see him get a goal. He says he's a wee enthusiastic guy, he looked like he loved it. Yeah, I didn't think it was in first off, but when you see it, he plays it, fair enough. We're probably playing well enough to get the opening goal, because Aya had a great chance when he got put through. Yeah, and again, when is he going to score so we can talk about it, man?
I just don't think he's... I mean, I have said for a while, I've had that Aya's back. He's a quality player, and I think a goal would really cap off a great season for him, Stephen.
Absolutely.
He must be Aya in with a shout for Young Player of the Year this year, surely.
Yeah, he's only really up against maybe Edward in that regard. Both of them have had periods out of the team, so 50-50 between the two. Maybe Edward will get it because of his goals. If he gets another 3 or 4 goals towards the end of the season, I reckon he'll probably get it. Although, and having said that, Dembele was completely overlooked for the same award.
Yeah.
Weah's goal, though, it does look over the line, but it's one of those things where they showed it on Sports Scene, and it maybe looked as if the shadow of the very edge of the ball had hit the line. The thing is, with Scottish football, we don't have enough cameras or angles, so it's really a best guess.
Yep.
And my guess is as good as the refs on this one, and it does look as if it might be over the line.
Celtic had an opportunity to double our lead.
Yes.
There was a penalty, and Cham the penalty taker now?
Yeah, he's had a few and scored a few, but he's missed his last two, has he?
He missed one against Salzburg as well, yeah.
But it just seems to be, if you sick a ball in a stationary position in front of a Celtic player, they go to absolute mush.
you just adding penalties onto the list of set pieces that we're not very good at.
Those run-ups do my head in, see those wee stutter-step run-ups, because some of them is a bit of a kind of psychological warfare, right? You're trying to put the keeper off, but some of them look as if they've just second-guessed themselves in the run-up, and that's exactly what Ncham looked like.
Played himself.
Yeah, basically played himself. The penalty incident itself, it was across from Izaguirre that the keeper just sort of palmed up in the air, and the defender brings it down fully on his arm. He sticks his arm above his head and brings it down on his bicep. But Chris Sutton, bizarrely, in the commentary, claimed that that's not a penalty because he tried to head it. And like, see the
professional footballer, and he doesn't know where he is.
He doesn't know the difference between his head and arm.
There's nobody about him either.
Yeah, we need to remove the word deliberate from penalty rulings, because see, if you gain such a clear sporting advantage from handballing it in the box, fully controlling it on your arm, it didn't come off his chest, onto his arm, off his head. It was a full handball, and people still get to say, well, it wasn't deliberate.
I'm just going to phone the University of Glasgow Biomechanics Division and just check what they're saying about this. Okay, so we agree that the it was a penalty shout. Should have been cited for that. Another instance shortly after, Scott Brown, alleged to have stamped on a St Mirren player. Let me tell you right now, absolutely nothing in it for me. I don't think he had much control of where his foot was going to go there.
I watched it back. I thought at the time, I thought that's a little bit cheeky. It was reminiscent of the Morelos thing on Ralston, I think it was, previously, where he hasn't stamped, he's simply taken a step and maybe could have put his foot somewhere else, basically. I thought on first glance it was a wee bit cheeky from Brown. But see, when you actually watch it back, and especially the angle from behind Scott Brown, the defender who's on the ground, or the St Mirren player who's on the ground, puts his arm up and Scott Brown goes to step over it and has to put his foot back down again. So that's why he stands on him. Now, could he have just tried to get his foot somewhere else? But he was falling down anyway. Mm. So I don't think it was fully deliberate. And I'm not just doing that, you know, I'm not just being biased. I would have said, had Scott Brown done something naughty.
Oh, we know you would have.
It's one of those ones, Melly, where when you slow it down, or you just take the still frame,
yeah,
it looks a lot worse than it is. But when you watch it first time at full pelt in the heat of the moment, you're like, well, there's not much you could do. You know, I saw a lot of people try to grass him into the compliance officer. A lot of freeze frames. Should Scott Brown be cited for this? But one thing that sort of bugs me is the press in this country, they're always just trying to whip up crap like that. And it's never ending. And that was just another example of it, in my view.
On that subject, did you see there was a picture doing the rounds of, remember, obviously, Morelos famously elbowed him and got sent off at Celtic Park a week or so ago. Someone had taken a still of that, and all they had done was stop it before his elbow touches his face and just said, well, look, here's the elbow supposedly hitting his face. Well, all you need to do is let that go on another quarter of a second.
It was it's funny because Steven Gerrard actually said that the Ryan Kent thing was similar, that Ryan Kent didn't punch or slap Scott Brown. He tried to push him away, and all the pictures that everyone saw was just a freeze frame. Steven Gerrard's losing the plot.
Yes, yeah.
Fully. Completely. Now, I don't know if you can remember what I say in this podcast. I do say an awful lot. It was about 2 months ago that I just said, you know, we've all seen films where there's a roller coaster or a train going around the track, and then one wee bolt just starts to shuggle loose. Do you remember that analogy? Yeah. Steven Gerrard is losing the plot, isn't he? I mean, just a wee sidebar here. I was tickled this week when he said that his formation keeps getting leaked.
So right, yeah.
Do you know what he's going to do to stop that? Build a big wall around Murray Park.
See, I've passed Murray Park on a number of occasions. It's not far from where I live. Mm. It does have a fence.
Yeah, it does.
Famously does have a huge fence with huge gates and a security booth right at the... Where is this fence going to go?
The thing is, I don't think his team is getting leaked by a wee guy peering through the fence.
No.
I think there's maybe somebody closer home leaking his team.
Or it could be that his team's the same pretty much every week. Yeah. It's Morelos up front and interchangeable Scottish Huns in midfield.
Maybe he wants a higher fence because those lions jump over.
St Mirren, they had an incident of their own. Yeah, we... elbow on Ayer off the ball.
Mm.
You buying that one?
Another one which could have gone either way. I saw Michael Stewart make the case on Sports Scene that it looks as if Nazon has tried to just pull his arm away and he's caught Ayer with his elbow on the way up. Again, it's one of those, is it deliberate things that realistically we'll never know, which is why I want the word deliberate removed from any ruling, because it involves literal mind reading. It was a wee bit cheeky. It looked exactly the same as the Morelos thing, really. It's whether you're willing to believe that he was trying to shake him off, because Morelos could have said the same thing at Celtic Park. I don't really buy it.
Taylor Swift, Melly, shake it off. Do you think that's what was happening?
I'm not sure. It wasn't the same as Morelos. For me, Morelos was, he knew what he was doing. I'd say that this guy, if a Celtic player went for that, I wouldn't be calling for the red card. So I don't know. It wasn't too bad, to be honest.
Ryan Christie, back after five games, scores. Are we counting this in the late goal? That seems to be the theme. Lennon's late goals. We count this as a late goal.
85th or 88th minute.
Ryan Christie, how do you think he performed, Melly, when he came back?
He makes a difference because he's doing those driving runs from midfield. I was glad he came on because it woke me up, because the game was getting very, very dreadful once again.
That's the thing, yeah. It'd be remiss of us not to mention the performance itself. It wasn't very good. And it was another one of these ones. It seems to be a pattern now with Neil Lennon, in that the first half is actually not bad, and then the second half just falls off. I don't know what's happening at half-time with these team talks, because they are dropping off significantly when it comes to the second half. And getting that second goal was a bit of a relief. I can't remember St Mirren having many chances. There was one...
It went through Nazon.
Yeah, that's right. And Scott Bain made a couple of decent saves in the game. So it was good to get that second one right. It's good to have Ryan Christie back, because a few weeks ago on here we were bemoaning the lack of midfield options, and now we've suddenly got Rogic, Christie, and Enchamp. Yeah, basically everyone's back with the exception of Kouassi.
Oh, I know. If you were asleep at the goal, Melly, the banger would have woken you up. Oh, certainly woke up the St Mirren keeper, woke up Ryan Christie, woke up everyone. What are you doing? That's bad. This is not what anyone wants. It's certainly not what anyone that goes to football wants. It's certainly not what the Green Brigade want.
No.
Because they issued a very good statement.
Yeah, distance himself from it. Yeah, good.
The Green Brigade statement was great. You know, the potted version of it is basically, we are trying to introduce safe pyro to the game, and by doing things like this, you're really hindering our efforts to improve the matchday experience. You're doing it with the bangers, you're doing it with the wrong types of pyro, you're doing it by running onto the pitch. But there seems to be week on week now that there's some sort of incident here, and that was just stupidity.
Just nothing on the pitch. Just don't do anything to the pitch whatsoever, because it's the single worst thing you can do. It's the most visible thing you can do. All you need is the pitch, that coconut at the weekend as well. Now, as much as that's a hilarious item, it's still don't throw it on the pitch. Don't throw things at players. Anything, because all it takes is the picture, and then all of a sudden it's Scotland in crisis yet again. There were players, or there was guys throwing things at Tavernier at the weekend as well, threw a lighter at him right in front of the ref, and it's getting ridiculous. So could we just please agree to stop interfering with the pitch in any way, shape, or form?
Here's what to do, right? Here's what to do. Just stop being a dick at the football.
Yes. That should be the name of the campaign.
Yeah. Stop being a dick at the football. That's how you do it.
But as far as there's big differences between flares and throwing a banger on the pitch, because flares, as Mel, you've said, that they...
aesthetically, they look
good. Yeah, they look great. And
I love them. I think they look brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. And it can be done in a safe manner, but not basically explosives at the game.
I know. And like you say, it's needless. It's only a matter of time. And not even before someone gets hurt. Someone doesn't need to get badly hurt, but it is only a matter of time before Celtic are 1-0 up, 2-0 up in a game, and a referee, somebody does something stupid, and the referee just cans a game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Not far away from it.
Yeah. And the referees are just itching to do that sort of thing. If that was any closer to the St Mirren keeper, he could have been injured or claimed injury, and that would have been enough to get a game stopped.
Yeah, and that's not an excuse. That's not, because it didn't hit the keeper, you don't get to say, well, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because it is just... Even if it didn't injure anyone, which it didn't at the time, the players looked shaken after it. It's just a bad look overall. Right. It's just a bad thing to happen at the football. It gives everyone an excuse to yet again wring their hands about the state of Scottish football, and it's unhelpful.
It doesn't add anything to the game either.
No.
Flares look good. These bangers, if Celtic score, the first thing I'm thinking is, oh, God, I need to get in my pocket and fling this thing that'll make noise. It doesn't add anything to the game.
Who's your man of the match for that drab performance? Okay, yeah. Stephen.
good noises, Melly. Callum McGregor, for me, I thought he was excellent.
McGregor was good. Okay,
I thought he looked back to his best, I say back to his best, but I think he's been performing at a pretty convincing, consistent level all season. I think he is my one and only choice for player of the year. I've been saying it for a while now. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. Maybe slightly quiet in terms of goals this season, but he's been playing a slightly different role. Yeah. So he's been played a season. I thought he was excellent again against St Mirren. Very few bright spots, but he was definitely one of them.
So that was St Mirren.
Yep.
Pretty drab performance.
Who'd have thought that would have been the best performance we'd seen?
I know. 3 points nonetheless. Celtic 0, Livingston 0, Celtic Park. You said something off pod, Stephen.
How dare you?
I know. These sorts of games, you'd be thinking that I'm not getting dragged in at the Lennon for the Celtic manager job chat. We're not having that this week, right? Yeah. But you're looking at these games, you're going, a couple of 4-0s, a couple of 5-0s, rattle the goals in against this sort of team, really put a marker down.
Yeah, especially St Mirren can be a tricky away fixture if they're kind of fighting for their lives. But Livingston at home, that's an ideal opportunity to just rack up a 5-0. And I'm not saying that's easy. That's easier said than done. You don't just go and beat teams 5-0 willy-nilly, but it's a perfect opportunity. If you're going to beat someone, if you're going to make a big statement, that's your chance. If you want our attention, Neil Lennon, that's your chance to do it.
Well, he tried to get your attention with the lineup.
Oh, boy, did he. Boy, did he.
A back three, which I thought was interesting. Also, I thought it was very interesting to see Kieran Tierney at left wing back, given that everyone and their granny seems to be thinking that the thing Kieran Tierney needs is less work to do.
Well, yeah.
And not more work to do. Melly, what did you make of the back three as a choice?
Three big guys going back to the old Mialbe, Valharan and Bobo. But when we're going to play Livingston, they play a back three usually, and they play Dolly Meng up front. So it's usually a 3-6-1 or a 5-4-1. But looking at it, I just when the game started, just to see how it lined up, because me and Stephen tried to decipher it in the car before doing the, at the matching, and we're trying to work out where teams
at the
matching.
What a great salesman there for the Patreon content.
Just see me at the match.
Talking to myself in the front. Oh, that's horrible. But we try to figure it out, and if you're going to play three at the back, I'm happy with that. But I think if you're playing against Livingston, who play three at the back also, you need to have two up front
to
keep them occupied. And we just didn't do that. And also, the three at the back, we had three players all did okay. But they're up against Dolly Menga, one guy, which leaves two of them spare, which is two men. One of them could have been moving forward into midfield. Against a three at the back, I think you always need to go three up front or two up front. And we just didn't do that. And from the start, it just didn't get going. We didn't get wide enough. And in midfield, Brown sat with McGregor and Christie in front of him, then Rogic in front of that. And it was trying to get into a diamond or a box. And it was just so congested because Edouard dropped in as well. And we'd nobody up front trying to pull that defence.
Weah didn't make the game, Stephen. No. And some interesting comments from Neil Lennon regarding Weah.
Yeah, I was going to say alluded to, but he basically called him out, said he's not the greatest of trainers. He's been happy with him, but he doesn't train very well, which is odd. I didn't expect to hear that about him because of what he portrays. Yeah. He sort of projects this image. I didn't really expect him to be a poor trainer. Now, that could mean a few different things, whether he's just crap in training or whether he doesn't try. It's not
just,
something.
Maybe just, I'd hate to think he was just all Instagrammy. But people who are Instagrammy tend to only be Instagrammy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But he's a teenager though. He should be the best at training. I don't really know why he's quite so poor. Now, there might be a little look into why he hasn't played quite as much as we expected him to when he came in.
This is a sick manager that's not playing him, so there is something behind it. But in what Lennon said, he compared him to Didier Gat. Now, I've heard before that Didier Gat was awful in training, not through lack of effort, just touch, awareness, just terrible. But when he got out there on a Saturday, he'd the space, he'd the bigger pitch, he was much better. So if I can compare him to a Gat, I don't think it's a lack of effort. I still don't know what position he plays, maybe that's something that he finds difficult, pinning him down in a position.
Well, to go back to the St Mirren game, he played on the left, and I think that's the first time he started on the left, having previously played on the right against Hibs and through the middle against Hamilton Accies, maybe someone else. I think that's only four starts he's made. So, he is a wee bit all over the place. It doesn't really look... It's not obvious what his real strongest position is. Now, on the back three, you mentioned that's the first time those three players have been on the same pitch since the defeat to Hibs at Easter Road at the tail end of last year. So it's a bold move to put them all back together. I don't understand why they played it though, because as you said, Melly, all they've got is Dolly Menga up front. There was a point in that game where Dolly Menga was there furthest.
Sorry, but Dolly Menga is a funny name.
It's a better name. The Menga bus. But there was a point where he was Livingston's furthest forward player, but at that he was only 35 yards from Livingston's goal. So we've got the back three just hanging about, just doing nothing really. Yep.
And I think we had about 75% possession in that game.
Add Scott Brown to that, who's sitting deep the entire time. You've basically got a back four against zero. It's a different case at Easter Road because you're up against your Camberi, Horgan, Malin, guys like that who've got a lot of attacking intent and skill. Livingston don't have any of that. So I thought it was overkill to be at home against a team like that.
But when you look at the stats, we had 18 on goal, 11 on target, masses of possession, 70-odd% of possession. Yeah. So does that not tell you, Melly, that maybe Lennon's tactics were correct in a sense?
No.
There we go.
Well, if we had got the goal in the first half, was okay, actually. It was pretty decent. There was a few good chances. Rogic had a good chance. Edouard had a good chance. They should have...
Forrest had a good... Their keeper was really good, in fairness to them,
in the first half, if you watch the highlights reel, you'll probably see, Celtic should have won that. But being at the game, it was completely different. It was terrible watching. Now, their back three only had Edouard to deal with, and out wide, the wing-backs... I think they changed from a 4 to a 5, but their wing-backs had Forrest and Tierney to deal with. Now, both are good players, but they can't really do much when they've got two on one most of the time.
Yeah.
And we had three centre-halves sitting there and nobody overlapping. It was just all so predictable. And then if they've got drop into the back five, they just kill off the space. Edouard's dropping off because he's not involved, because there's no supply to him. Rogic Christie, McGregor, they're all just condensing in that middle part, and there's no width, there's nobody overlapping, there's no chances being created. It's just an absolute shit show, to be honest.
Because of Forrest's lack of support on that side, now he's been playing basically without it all season, because when Lustig does play well, it's not really in a getting forward sense. As much as he does get forward, he's not anymore the player who's going to get beyond James Forrest. So when James Forrest doesn't have anything overlapping, he doesn't have anything to play off, he cuts well inside. Yeah. There was a couple of times against Livingston where he took the ball from the wide right, dribbled all the way across their back five and ended up in the wide left with no one supporting him. So it was a strange game. You can certainly look at the chances Celtic created and say, well, they should have scored them and should have won. But again, there was a lot of strange things going on in that game, not least the fact that Jozo ended up front for about the last 30 seconds of the game.
Unbelievable.
I think on Mel at the Match, I likened it to his Stuart Pearce at Man City moment where he stuck David James up front when he had a striker on the bench.
You said you spoke through everyone's chances. There's a lot of good chances there, you know, but you never mentioned the one. You never mentioned the Burke's chance. Yep.
It's criminal, absolutely criminal. Again, but I thought we took too long to get Burke on. Lennon, he can't say now. That was the easiest game we've got left of the season. Livingston at home, a team who can't get relegated, can't get in the top six, don't have anything to play for. I don't think they're particularly a good team. They just go out and defend. It's not as if, you spoke about it, Stephen, at least to the 0-0 draw by Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Aberdeen are a good team. They set up well. They are difficult to break down. Livingston are dreadful away from home. Mm. Absolutely dreadful. And they didn't do anything spectacular. And we had no idea how to break them down.
And this is the second 0-0 in a row with Celtic.
And it's becoming a bit of a theme. Now, the substitute, Lennon, he can't say he's not changing anything, because it's been a long time since we played a back three. We've never played a back three that can't really change to a back four, because he didn't have Lustig in there.
No.
Usually we'd have Lustig in there. He can easily be switched. He stuck with a formation an awful long time. Even first substitute was Johnny Hayes. Look, Johnny Hayes done okay when he came on.
Fine, yeah.
Got a few good balls in, but he's not going to change anything to the structure of the team. He took too long to put on Burke. And when he did come on again, that miss is dreadful. We did have a couple of chances, but in the end, you couldn't begrudge Livingston the 0-0.
Hayes coming on, I thought, might have signalled a change of shape, but it didn't, because all that happened was Tierney went back to the left centre half. Maybe a nod to what you'd said earlier, Jamie, about how he's just been given too much work to do, but I don't think sticking him at centre half is getting the best out of Kieran Tierney. Johnny Hayes was fine. Again, I find myself saying it all the time. He put in a Johnny Hayes performance, but he's good at getting forward and getting those crosses in. It's just a shame that Celtic have nothing on the end of them. Celtic don't have that type of player that's going to make the best use of deep or sharp crosses.
Edward is a good player. I love him. He's going to be the best striker, but he has to be a striker, because if he's dropping into Rogic areas and Christ areas, there's nobody up there, and there's a lot of balls going across the box that a poacher, a striker's instinct will just slot away, and it has to be done. I'm looking at Lennon now. That's 2-0-0s in two home games. We've got 9 goals in 7 games. That's not good enough.
The Burke miss, though. We went to start to talk about it there and get sidetracked, but goodness me. I remember being at the game. I remember my reaction, because I stood up.
It's on there.
You can hear me talking about it on Early the Match, actually, because I got my phone out. I'm giving people a peek behind the curtain there. It gets recorded. I stood up and said, oh, I can't believe that, as he just dribbled that past the post. But I just stood there, totally frozen, unsure how to react to it. I wasn't aware at the time just how bad a miss it was, but it looked ridiculous from our angle. But seeing it back, it's even worse. I don't know what he was doing. He was bailed out massively by the fact that, did you see Choupo-Moting's miss for PSG the same night? So it wasn't even the worst miss of the day, but it was Burke's second woeful miss of the week, and even more extraordinary than the first.
So Celtic have to wait for the title. When can we wrap this up, Millie?
Hibs away on Easter Sunday. That should be lovely. We should have won that game yesterday. The Bears won on Sunday. They play Hearts away on the Saturday after, in 2 weeks. So if they drop points there, and I think if we win, we can win it on Easter Sunday. But even regardless of that, if we don't win on Saturday, we should be having a wee Easter Sunday party. Going away to Hibs, tough game, but we should be going there to win a title, and we're not.
As we record this, on this day, sort of, rewind 7 years. Neil Lennon didn't have to wait to win his title, as it was. We were at this game, weren't
yes,
we, Melly?
Yes, we were. A lovely day out.
Celtic 6, Kilmarnock 0 on that most terrific of seasons.
Terrific strip. It was empty here, wasn't it?
Aye, it's your boy there, sporting it.
Livens
in the back?
Yeah, it's a sort of...
Do you have Livens in the back of it?
No, I do not. It's a sort of bumblebee tribute, I suppose you would say.
A yellow and black sort of stripy thing. That was the season Rangers went into administration and eventually died, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. They were how many points ahead?
15, I think it was.
They were 15 points ahead. The title was in the bag, according
to Jelovic.
Nikita Jelovic. Celtic went to Rugby Park, and Charlie Mulgrew put in the performance that made me fall in love with the man for the rest of his life.
What was he doing?
What?
Was it three assists and a goal?
Something like that, aye.
Two goals and an assist in the first half, aye. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Stephen likes to play a game with us. I'm going to turn the tables. Oh. I'm going to play the game with you. We're going to have a sudden death shootout here.
Oh, man.
You know the rules.
I'm on the hot spot now.
Yeah, we toss the coin. Melly says how many players from this starting lineup, and he can name. Stephen, how many players from the starting lineup you can name. So here we go. Tossing the coin. Heads or tails, call it.
Heads.
It is tails.
Oh.
Stephen.
I'll go 5.
You can name 5 from the starting 11.
Yeah.
Sensational stuff. Melly, how many can you name? Are you going to tell Stephen, go for your 5, or are you going to try for 6?
Ah, bugger it, I'll go for 6.
Wow, any 6. Advance? Here we go. Any advance, Stephen?
No, I'll seed that one.
Okay, Melly, go for 6.
Chuckles.
Mulgrew.
Hooper.
Correct.
Commons.
Correct.
Ledley.
Correct.
Livens, did I say that one?
Correct.
And Foster.
Correct.
Oh, I was going to go Key as well. Key took the
corner.
Mulgrew scored the first goal from. Probably the last time we scored from a corner, actually, 7 years ago.
You could have had also Matthews. Adam Matthews, of course. Kelvin Wilson or Scott Brown or Samaras, obviously. Substitutes that day, Zaluska, Chaduri, Blackman, Twardzik, Ibrahim, was that Rabo Ibrahim? Aye. Anthony Stokes and Paul Brozek.
Oh, he had a lovely wee back heel flick to put
That's
through
right.
Ledley. Yeah, we had a great day that day. We got back to Central Station, a few shandies, and there's a big huddle in Central Station.
That's right, so there was.
Well, that was the same season that Celtic were 3-0 down at the same stadium then.
Yeah, Kilmarnock.
Yeah, of course, and then went on to miraculously win the league, despite the fact that, Nikita Jelovic had said that the title was in the bag.
It was Celtic's first league win since 2007-2008, that season. Neil Lennon's first league win as a manager.
I've been thinking about this a lot because I've seen that this morning. Today, so that was Lennon's first win as a manager. The previous season, we blew that league title, losing out to Walter Smith. But then it got me thinking about Lennon's whole tenure at Celtic before. Now, Lennon, I love the guy. He's helped out Celtic massively here. The only guy we probably could have got in. But going forward, I was looking at his record, and if you take that season where we beat Barcelona, take the European out of that, first season, he loses to a poor Rangers team. We should have won that league if it wasn't for that Inverness game. We had a lot of stupid draws that season. I think we drew 3 home matches in a row in December. Criminal to lose that league. But you'll forgive him, first season of management. But the following season to win the league after going far down, credit for that. But it's against Ali McCoist. Mm. And we know how terrible a manager he is because he's not had a job since. Going on from that, Rangers aren't in the league. There's no challenge for the rest of the seasons. In Europe, he get absolutely buggered. I'll use that word again. Time and time again, up till that one where we got through and we beat Barcelona. That was a great campaign. I'm not going to take that away from him, but I'm just...
Sounds like you are, Melly.
I'm questioning everything because these 7 games we've had, there's not been a good performance in there. We've got wins, we've got late wins, but Livingston and Saturday, it just absolutely petrifies me for getting this cup semi-final next week and going forward, because I've had to speak to a couple of Rangers fans and they have The three I've spoke
cutting that.
The three I've spoke to all want Neil Lennon as Celtic manager.
I'm being the referee here. We're not getting into that. Neil Lennon, should he get the Celtic manager debate, even though he shouldn't. Aberdeen is next up, cup semi final at Hampden.
So adeptly teed up there.
Do you like that? Worried.
Just said I'm petrified.
Oh yeah. You worried, Stephen? I mean, law of averages, I mean, Aberdeen have surely got to win one of these games at Hampden.
A little bit, because the team is a wee bit all over the place at the moment. The performances just aren't there. And Celtic have been getting wins, there's no doubt about it, apart from Livingston and Aberdeen. They've been getting the games just about over the line when it comes to, you know, late winners and all that. But the team is a wee bit all over the place. I was thinking about this earlier, but can anyone think of a more transient squad than Celtic's? Because you get players coming in and then they're not seen again for weeks and weeks. You get Nir Beaton comes in, plays a few games, then he's completely out of the squad.
Forgot about that.
Ewan Henderson comes in, Scott Sinclair. We've got
Mikey Johnson.
Yes, Mikey Johnson is another one. It seems to happen an awful lot at Celtic. Well, obviously, my focus is mainly on Celtic, so I couldn't really tell you if, for example, Chelsea or Man City or something are the same.
Man United, possibly.
Yeah, maybe. But it seems to be an awful lot of. The squad just seems to be in a state of flux at all times, so I'll be buggered, to borrow a word from Melly earlier, if I could name what the team was going to be against Aberdeen. I've got absolutely no idea.
I'm a pessimistic soul. I'm nervous about this game. I'm nervous about every game with Neil Lennon in charge, to be perfectly honest with you. There's just so much at stake, though.
Hmm.
Do you know, if we misses out on this treble, What do you think, Melly? Do you think if he misses out the treble, do you think it's a big deal, or do you think people will just shrug their shoulders and go, well, you know, the treble is extra, extra special. Not getting it is not so bad.
I think it will be a big deal. We're used to winning trophies. Rangers are out the cup now. We've got a clear run at the final. Aberdeen, if we beat them, is going to be a team, Hearts or Inverness. I would be worried about most games, but this is a very winnable tie. If it was Brendan Rodgers, would I have this fear? No, and I don't like saying that because the rat deserted us. But we have to face the facts. We haven't played well in a long time, a good few weeks now. And if we did lose, it wouldn't be a shock. But Lennon needs this. He needs to win this game to stake any claim for that job.
On whether the treble... not getting that is a big deal. Of course it is, because the words treble have become part of the, you know, the lexicon of this season. That's been there, as well as the 10 in a row thing, which has been building for a long time. You don't get to not get 10 in a row and say, nine's still quite good. You know, if we win 8 trophies out of 9, that's still excellent, but it would still be a disappointment because of the success that led up to it.
I just feel like our name's not on the cup already.
No, of course not. No.
You know, it's not on there already, and you lose to Aberdeen, they scrub it off and put someone else's name on it. You know, you can lose a semi-final at any time.
You can, and Lennon's done it before, Ronnie Dyler's done it before. This squad hasn't, and if you're looking at this game individually, taking away treble, should Celtic beat Aberdeen? Yes, they should, but are Celtic playing well? No, they're not.
McInnes will fancy it because
he's got 20 million man up front, Sam Cosgrove.
I'm
using the Morelos calculator there.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you? Because 20 goals equals
20 million.
Yeah, he's back on the goal trail with a double against Indeed, taking him to the magic number of 20 this season, which means he is worth 20 million, as you say, James.
Don't like seeing that, but Dundee bottom of the league. Such a shame for Kenneth.
No, of course not. Well, funnily, we didn't mention that earlier, because the last time we played Livingston at Celtic Park was when Kenny Miller was the manager of Livingston and he subbed himself off. Aberdeen, it's always a tricky game. Now, the games are tight between Celtic and Aberdeen because it's over a year since Celtic beat them by more than one goal. You know, a couple of 1-0s in the 4-3 game at Boxing Day. They are quite tight affairs of late. Aberdeen are an all-right team. They should have done better this season, but they're always up for it against Celtic. McInnes is always trying things, and he'll see that Celtic have been not only struggling for form, but struggling to find any kind of cohesive lineups and tactics of late, and he'll be pretty confident, I would reckon.
Tight, Melly.
Yep, McInnes beat Lennon last time in the cup, didn't he? Faced him in the cup at Celtic Park as well. Celtic, I think, Stoke scored when he went 1-0 up early on, then lost 2-1 inexplicably.
So I think we can all get pretty nervous about the cup semi-final.
I still think Celtic are going to be favourites, and I think it's their, with all these things, it's their game to lose, but Neil Lennon has a Apache record at Hampden. It's an Apache record at Hampden. I think it's fair to say. But that doesn't come into it now. That's a long time ago. It's not form.
Yeah.
A lot's changed since then. So I wouldn't level that against him going into this game. But he's got a lot to prove. And as Melly said, if he wants even mention for the Celtic job, he's got to win it.
I think we need better performances than we've seen the last two games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There was a report midweek that Dedrick Boyata was off to Hertha Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of out there, then quickly denied.
It's a strange one to appear if there isn't any fire behind that smoke, because it's a bit of an odd move. I thought he was an absolute stick-on to end up at like a Derby County or something like that. I don't think he's good enough to get like top half table in the English Premier League. I thought he was a stick-on to go down there, though. Fulham have been after him for a long time. That Fulham are probably going, they're definitely going down. So it was a strange one to appear, Hertha Berlin, because I thought his next move would be for big money. Not the end of his career, but it's the last big move of his career. And I don't know if there's a huge amount of money flying around at a club like that. Although
he's well stayed at Celtic.
Yeah, although it is. 11th
in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, it's a decent club of decent stature, a good league and all that. But an odd move if it comes off.
One player on the way out is, as we discussed, Dedrick Boyata. One player on the way in is definitely Marian Shved.
Yeah.
Banging them in, second top goal scorer in the Ukrainian league.
Twitter is alive with the wee Shved highlight packages and everything, yeah.
I'm just not sure. Do we need a winger? We've got a million wingers, Melly.
Where's your Shved at?
Oh, here we go.
Excellent.
Excellent. There's a wee bit of a buzz about him.
Yeah. Oh, there sure is, yeah. He's scoring a lot of goals and looks good. I think it was one of those ones where when it came about, first, Brendan Rodgers pissed on the strawberries a wee bit by playing it down.
What an absolute dick move.
But since then, it's looking to be a good deal. Brendan Rodgers just didn't want anything to do with it because
he
didn't care, basically. Yeah. I believe his words at the time were, it'll be good for the club in future. Yeah. Nothing to do with himself. And we all know what happened after that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what he's got.
Just as we're wrapping up this podcast, I just had a wee look at Twitter there. And Joe Worrell has been trying to ingratiate himself with the Rangers fans. He's a hard man, by the way, just so you know, big tough guy. He was on some lassie's Instagram saying, now I'm quoting here, fuck Celtic.
Ooh,
you're hard, eh? Joe Worrell. Here's how much I know about Joe Worrell. I saw an after-match interview with him after the Celtic-Rangers game, talking about, we don't fall down after 5 minutes, feeling injury, we're men. Had no idea who he was. Genuinely had no idea who Joe Worrell was. And he will leave this country with nobody knowing who he is.
He's terrible, him.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. He's the one that
dropped
was
the weekend.
Yeah, Edward was, when he was dribbling forward for his goal, we're running backwards and forwards in a straight line. It was hilarious
to
watch.
I've not seen a clown bent out of shape since the last time I was watching Cirque du Soleil. That's the last time I saw the likes of that. And on that bombshell, we will end. Just want to say thank you to you guys who listen and download the podcast, and especially to everyone who leaves funny reviews, because the iTunes reviews have started coming in again, so feel free to leave one.
Please do,
make them hilarious. Thanks to everyone who supports us on Patreon and enjoys that extra content. You can find that over at patreon.com/20minutetims. Thanks for listening.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.